Record and Congress.
Well, hold on. Well, I'm going to Allah for fourth line. We've been talking about the question of what kind of blood is makshir food to be mekabel truma. Blood we know is one of the shiva makshim. So if it touches food, then it makes it susceptible to truma. The question is what kind of blood. We started discussing yesterday that according to Reb Shimon, we have clear mishnayos and braises where Reb Shimon says that blood from a wound, from an animal's wound, or blood from an animal that died naturally and blood came out of it is not makshir. On the other hand, we said that that blood from an animal that on the other hand we said we were discussing whether blood of shechita according to Reb Shimon is makshir. Reb Asi had said that no, the blood of the shechita would not be makshir, and we also discussed in that connection about blood of halalim where the animal was killed without being shechita. So it came out so far, we said that according to Reb Shimon, three out of the four cases would not be makshir. A wound, shechita, according to Reb Asi, and we haven't contradicted him, and where it died naturally. The only one that would be makshir is dam chalolin, where the animal was killed. According to Rashi, all those cases, we're talking about animal blood, according to Tosfos, we learned yesterday, wouldn't be talking about human blood as well. So let's talk more about the zinim of blood of shechit. If a person shechits an animal and some of the blood squirted onto a pumpkin, now we don't have to mention dafka dlas more than any other vegetable or fruit. The reason the pashtus why you mention that is because it won't get absorbed. If it goes on the other food, then you have a problem anyway, because besides the matters of Tumah V'Tahara, you're not going to be able to eat the food because it absorbed blood. But a pumpkin or a gourd, whatever the exact translation of glass is, something in that family, has a hard shell, and therefore if blood gets on it, then it won't create a problem as far as kashrus. The question is only whether it's mukshul or kabal chari. So, Rebbe Omer Hukshe, Reb Chiya Omer Tolim. Rebbe says that it is definitely mukshul or kabal chari, and Reb Chiya says Tolim. Now, the word toilin usually means that we have to keep it in a suspended state. We can't say for sure that it's tomei. We can't say for sure that it's tomei. But here we're going to explain in the Gemara soon where that Rapia may have a different meaning. So, Amar Rav Oshia, says, so what do we do practically speaking? So who should we rely on? What should we do as practical halacha? Rav Oshia, by the way, all of them, Rebbe, Rapia, and Rav Oshia, all lived long after the Churban. Nevertheless, it comes out from different Gemaras that they still had parad from ashes. They were still able to make people tahar. So in that time they still had the ability to be tahar. And now the question is whether this food. So now therefore they want to make sure to eat their food in the state of tahara. And of course, if the food is truma, then anyway you have to. So the question would be then. So what do we do as a practical matter? So he says, so Reb Oshia says, Bov and Nismach, I'll do it, Reb Shimon. Come, let's rely on what Reb Shimon says. So here, Reb Shimon, Shchita Machsheres for Leidam, where Reb Shimon had said that Shchita is Machsher of Kabal Truma, and blood is not, as we learned before about Reb Asi saying that that blood of Shchita is not Machsher. So then Reb Oshia says, we can rely on that, and therefore say that the pumpkin is not Machsher of Kabal Truma. So let's clarify. Everybody would agree that if the blood remained on this pumpkin from beginning to end, from the beginning of the shechita, when the blood first squirted out, until, it doesn't have to be the beginning, but whatever, at any part during the shechita, where the blood squirted out and got on there, until the end, it was still there at the end of the shechita, then there'd be no argument. Everybody would agree that's makshir the kabal chuma. Namely, in that we can't follow Reb Shimon. After all, he's contradicted by the Chachamim in our Mishnah, Yochid V'Rabim, Malacha K'Rabim. So we can't ask him like Reb Shimon, a das Yochid, and say that blood of Shchita is not Makshir when we have the Chachamim against that. So Reb Oshia wouldn't be talking about that case. So what would be the case? What would be the argument? Says the Papa, if the blood was wiped off between the cutting of the first simen and the second. So what's the machlokas? Rebbe Sava Yeshna Shlita Metzchilav Ad Soif. So now we learned a few days ago in the Gemara we had machlokas about the how much of the process of shchita is considered actual shchita. When do we say, do we say the entire thing from when you start cutting until you finish is all called part of the shchita process? Or did we say in shchita el v'sof, that only the end of the process is called shchita? So here we have a machlokas that depends on that point. So Rebbe will hold Yeshna l'shchita mitzchilav ad sof. So the beginning of the shchita, the beginning of the shchita, v'hai dam shchita hu. Therefore, this is blood of shchita, and appoints the chachamim against Reb Shimon. It's makshir. So therefore, therefore he's going to say that the pumpkin is mokshel l'kabel tov. But Reb Chiya sava ain l'shchita el v'sof, and it el v'sof. Whereas Reb Chiya would hold that only the end of the shchita is considered shchita, and here you didn't check the second siman, so therefore until you do high dam maka ba'almahu, so therefore in effect Reb Chiya would say if a high dam makahu, and therefore this blood is in effect this blood of a wound, and we already established before that there's nobody who holds that blood of a wound is makshir. We said dam halolim is makshir according to everybody. We said dam shchita, we have machlokas Reb Shimon and the chachamim whether it's makshir, but blood of a wound or blood of an animal that died naturally is not going to be makshir the kabel tova. So therefore, so Reb Chiya says, until you finish the shchita, then it's not an actual shchita, and the blood was already wiped off. It wasn't there at the end of the shchita. When Reb Chiya has the expression tolin, which usually means that we consider it doubtfully tamei, and we can't eat it and we can't burn it, here he means something different. Tolin hadavar ad gemar shchita means we have to leave the thing suspended until the end of shchita and see what actually happens. What does the shchita get finished properly, and is the blood still on the pumpkin at that point? E is to the dam b'sof shchita. If that blood will be there on the pumpkin at the end of shchita, then it'll be makshir because then it turns out it was a kosher to shchita, and dam shchita was saying according to the chacham is makshir. The evloy loy makshir, and if it was wiped off in between, then it wouldn't be makshir. So that would be the papa says what the priya is saying. Now the Rambam brings up a big problem with this. When we said Yeshna l'shchita in Mitzvah of Sof, or Einah l'shchita Ela l'sof, that has to do with whether the shchita ended up being completed properly. But here, the shchita itself was completed properly. The only question is whether the blood is still there at the end of the time of shchita. So the Ram brings up a point then, and what do you mean? The shchita makes it that it's considered dam shchita retroactively. Then the fact is, it was there on the pumpkin. Even it's fine. It was wiped off before the shchita was completed. And he asks him about that, and he asks him other questions as well. So he would say, the Ran explains, when you say that when you say Einav Shchita Elo Gassarif, it wouldn't mean that the whole thing is considered Shchita retroactively. As far as Hechshel, the Kabbal Tumma, it could make it that we can consider the blood that came out earlier would be considered a Mashke. The same way, he points out, as far as Kisi Adam, even the opinion that holds Einav Shchita Elo Gassarif agrees that you need to do Kisi Adam on all the blood when you shaft a wild animal or a bird, even though we only say in the Shchita El Vasayf, saying in the Shchita El Vasayf would have certain restricted meanings to it, that the earlier part is not considered Shchita for various purposes, but as far as the blood, it would all be considered blood of Shchita. And then he says that since the whole point that blood is Maksha L'Kabal Tumah, we learn from a Hekesh with water, so therefore it has to be that it's considered already when it lands on the food. It has to be Mashta Vadai. It has to be definitely a liquid that would be Maksha L'Kabal Tumah. And here, when it landed on the pumpkin, it's not yet certain that it will, because it's not yet certain that the Shchita will be completed successfully. So the Papa explains that's the basis of the machlokes. Blood was wiped off. You can consider that while it was on there, it was a mashke and it was mashke for the kabel tumah or not. And continues the Papa to explain what Rabbi Oshia had said that Rabbi Oshia had said, well, in that case, we have machlokes Rebbe and Rekia, so we don't know what to do. We're going to have to follow Reb Shimon. So he says, in my bov and listen, if I'll give it Reb Shimon, so what does Reb Oshia mean when he says, come, let's rely on what Reb Shimon says, means, we're going to say it like this. Reb Shimon, lay mouth. According to Reb Shimon, blood of Shchita is never mashke. Lit Reb Chiya mashke. According to the Priya, we would say he and Rebbe both agree with the basic concept that blood of Shlita is Machabe. But after all, when the blood was wiped off, and we just said, the Papa said that the Machlokas Rebbe and the Priya, whether this blood of Shchita is Machshel the Kabbal Truma or not, Rebbe had said yes, and the Priya had said Toilin, which we said means Rebbe would hold Yeshna the Shchita Metzchilav Ad Soif, and therefore the blood that's on this pumpkin is that even though it was wiped off in between, it was there at the beginning, and therefore that's considered the beginning of the Shchita, and therefore it's Machshir, whereas Rav Priya says that not. So now when Rav Oshia is saying, now that we have this Machlokas, what do we do? When he says, Boruv Nismach al Dibur Rav Shimon, he's saying like, well, according to Rav Shimon, there's not even a question in the first place, because blood of Shchita is not Machshir. Lur Priya Machshir. Fine, according to Rav Priya, blood of Shchita is Machshir. But, Veniskaneach, but here you're talking about where the blood was wiped off of the pumpkin in between, Miyu Ashlu Landori. At any rate, though, Rav Shimon and Rav Priya seem to both come up with the same practical din. Ma'ale Machshir or Ma'ale Machshir. Both Rav Priya and Rav Shimon both hold the pumpkin is not Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. Fine, for different reasons. Rav Shimon because blood of Shchita is not Machshir at all, and Rav Priya because Yeshna L'Shchita is because Ein L'Shchita Elo L'Soif, and the blood that got on it earlier is not considered to that extent. Blood of Shchita, fine, but in practice, they come out with the same result, that the food is not Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. Habalei Rebbe Chad. So it comes out that Rebbe is a Das Yachid, the Enjvar of Shalachad, Machim Shnayim, and we have a general rule that we don't follow the opinion of one against two. So therefore says Rav Papa, that would be, so in other words, the flow of it would be as follows. Rebbe and Rav Priya are arguing if blood of Shchita got on the pumpkin. So again, if the blood remained on there even at the end of the Shchita, no question, it's Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. The only opinion that says it would not be would be Rav Shimon, and we can't follow him. But when the blood was wiped off in between, Rebbe would hold, nevertheless, it's Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. Rav Chiya would hold, we have to wait, Rav Chiya says Toilin, meaning Rav Papa explains, when the blood first gets on there, we don't know yet whether it's Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. We have to wait and see whether the blood is still on there at the end of the Shchita. If it's not, then Rav Chiya is going to hold that it's not Machshir. And therefore, since we have him and we have Rav Shimon also saying it's not Machshir, though for a different reason, then says Rav Oshia, we can follow that combined opinion and say that we can follow that combined opinion and say that the pumpkin is not Machshir L'Kabbal Truma. In fact, a number of poskim bring up a rule from here that you can see from this, that in general, when we talk about Acher Rabban L'Hachas, it doesn't even matter necessarily whether the two opinions are both basing themselves on the same underlying basis, because exactly over here, we have Rav Priya is using one rationale, Rav Shimon is using a completely different rationale, and nevertheless, Rav Oshia is saying, according to Rav Papa, that since the bottom line is that both of them say it's not Muchshir, then it's not Muchshir. So the Ozeruah, the Maharik, and a couple of other Rishonim bring up this point and say that that therefore we can use that when we pass him. With that said, though, there are other posts and we'll say maybe it's not necessarily, maybe you can't necessarily be Makel based on that. If you have a different reason to be mutter, then fine. But not just because you have a bunch of different opinions, even though they come up with the same, thing. How would that opinion understand the Gemara? One possibility is because after all, the food had a cheskas tara in the first place. That's one reason. Aside from which, also, we're going to continue in the Gemara now with a different understanding of Rav Oshia's opinion, according to which it's going to come out that he's Machmer, not Makel, and therefore, and then certainly when it comes to being Machmer, we can say that if there are two different opinions, then and they result in a majority of opinions, then we should follow them. So this is one of those meta halacha type of things, the halacha about Paskin and halacha that comes out from this little piece of Gemara over here. So that's how Rav Papa explains what the Machlokas is over here and what Rav Oshia is saying. Rav Ashi has a different explanation. No, when Rav Priya says Toilin, means the Olam Mat. Now Toilin has its usual meaning, means that we suspend this food, we don't know whether it's Tomei or Tahor. In other words, just the fact that the blood itself got on it does not make it Tomei, of course, but the point is, in other words, if this blood got on it, and then even, like Rav Papa says, it was wiped off, and then And then Sheretz or some other source of Truma touched it, we wouldn't know whether it's Tomei or Tahor. And if it's Truma, we would have to keep it in suspended state and we wouldn't be able to eat it because it might be Tomei and we wouldn't be able to burn it because it might be Tahor. And continues Rav Ashi, what it is when the blood was wiped off, the reason why Rav Priya is toiling, not because our Kapapa is right, because he definitively holds Eino L'Shvita, Eino L'Vasev. But rather, he has a suffix, Mesapdolei, E Yeshna L'Shvita, Mitzvila V'Adzoiv, or Eino L'Shvita, Eino L'Vasev. So would we say that the Shvita, that the entire process is part of the Shvita, then the result would have to be what Rebbe says, that even the blood that came out at the beginning of the Shvita would nevertheless be Masher L'Kabal Choma because it was part of the Shvita process. Or would we say that ain't the Shvita El L'Vasev, and therefore only the end of it is considered the Shvita, and up until that point it is, and up until that point it's not considered blood of Shvita. So then what does the Priya mean when he says toilin? He means the usual meaning of toilin, more earthling, more serpent. You can't eat it, and you say you can't eat it, and you can't burn it, because you can't eat it because it might be, we're talking about when it's truma. It might be truma tmei, and you're not allowed to eat it, but it might be truma tahara, and you're not allowed to burn it. So that's sort of Ashi's understanding of the Machlokas. Well, my Boruch and Nismith, I'll give it to Shimon. So now, when the Oshia says, come, let's rely on what Reb Shimon says, he says, Reb Shimon loy Makshir. After all, according to Reb Shimon, this blood of Shchita is not Makshir in the first place. Reb Priya Sveika. And according to the Priya, the whole thing is a stoppage, whether it's Makshir or not. In this case, where it was wiped off. However, when it comes to burning it, they do both agree in common. Neither one holds that it should be burned. Reb Shimon holds not much of a kabbal chomer in the first place, so the sheretz or whatever touching it doesn't make it tummy. And Reb Priya is not burning it because of the suffix. So again, Havelei Rebbe Chad, so therefore it comes out Rebbe is only one single opinion. Ve'ein dvar shalachav makom shnayim, one won't stand up against two, v'alchi kamar. What Reb Oshia means, or what Reb Priya means, to bring Zoys Tolan, not Earth and Zoys Tolan, this is the kind of case where Tolan, where we would have to suspend it, and we can't eat it, and we can't burn it, because we're not sure what to do with it. So Rashi points out those last words in the Gemara over here are is not really necessary. Reb Ashi already explained it, so therefore there's no real reason to repeat it. So there are Rishonim and Achronim who explain what the Gemara is adding with that word. In any case, the point is that therefore, according to Rav Ashi, just the opposite. Rav Oshia is coming to be Machmir. Rav Oshia is telling us, according to Rav Ashi, to be Machmir. Don't be makel and say, well, it's a suffix whether it was Mukhtar the Kabbal Tumah, therefore you can eat it. On the contrary, it's a suffix whether it was Mukhtar the Kabbal Tumah, and therefore don't ruin it. But you can't eat it either, because after all, it might be Tumah. Talking about food being mushal l'kabal tumah, let's talk now about when it comes to kodshim. We talked the other day about the concept of chibas hakodesh, where the preciousness, the dearness of kodshim to us makes it that they're able to be makabal tumah even under circumstances that regular chulin food would not. In particular, without being mushal with one of the seven limits. You have a pasuk v'abosar asher yigal b'chol tomei lo ya'ochol, and the meat that touches anything tomei shall not be eaten. And the Gemara in a few places learns that that means that v'abosar comes to include also even if it's not mukshul l'kabal tumah, because chibas hakodesh. So let's talk about some details within that. So the Shimon Lakish has the question. So did Shomanakas, the dry flour of Menachas, meaning as we learned all over in the Masechta Menachas. The flour is supposed to be mixed with oil, but it doesn't always get mixed so thoroughly. After all, you know, we learned in Menachos, you have any sort of flour, which is a shiur challah, somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds. You have a log of oil, which is approximately somewhere between 12 and 16 ounces. So in practice, you may not have that the oil wets all of the flour, and you don't have any of it dry. So now suppose some of it is dry. So now the question is, that flower is able to become tummy, no question about it, because the chibas hakodesh. But the question is, moinin by rishin v'sheni, or ein moinin by rishin v'sheni? Do we count degrees of tumma with it? Namely, that now it is a dry, flower of the mincha, became tummy. So now it would be considered a rishin, and if it touches other food, it makes it a sheni, and then shlishi and revi and so forth. Or would we say that the dry flour itself becomes tummy because it's chibas hakodesh, but ein moinin by rishin v'sheni, maybe we don't count rishin and sheni in it, it's not matame other food. Maybe this point of chibas hakodesh is enough for it itself to become tummy, but not to be machshir, but not to be matame other food. So that's the question of a short. Shlomo just points out there is a different point, another formula that we have as far as chudshim is called siruf kli. We talked about it a little bit in Menachos, so that when you have food together in one container, then as far as chudshim, it's considered as though it's all connected, even in fact, it's in different clumps in the container. So therefore, Tosfos asks over here that in the same way over here, then if you have some dry flour in the mincha, doesn't matter, it's all in a caving with the rest of the mincha, and therefore it should all become tamei anyhow, and for sure it should be able to be matame other food. It's not a matter of chibas hakodesh anymore, it's a matter of the rest of the food in that container. The rest of the mincha is in fact wetted with oil and would be matzor lekabel tumah. So Tosfos explains differently. What we're talking about, rather, over here, not like Rashi says, you have the mincha was mixed with flour, but you still have some clumps and bits of flour that have not gotten wetted yet. Rather, Tosfos says we're talking about he didn't even put oil into the mincha yet in the first place, and the whole flour is dry. But the question is, we learned in Menachos that there's opinions that said that the dry measuring utensils were niskadish, and as soon as you put the flour in it, it has to produce a goof. So now the question is, or another possibility, of course, could be the Menachos that don't have oil in the first place. And Tosfos points out with those, we learned in Menachos that there are opinions that you can put water in them, but nevertheless, here we're talking about there was no water. So that's Rish Lakish's question. We say that it's tome, but do we say it's able to be metame other food despite the fact that it had no hefsh or the kabal tumah, and the only reason it becomes tome in the first place is because of chibas hakodesh? Tosfos also earlier in the Sylvia mentioned it, and Daflam and Hay mentions a point when we talked about kodesh and kodesh and all that. It came out that the Rish Lakish's question would also be there's another aspect of chibas hakodesh that we've learned that says that wood and lavoina, even though they themselves are not edible, are able to become tomei with tumas osim because of chibas hakodesh. So Tosfos discusses earlier that Rish Lakish's question would be about them as well if they weren't if they themselves are only possible or if they're only metame or if they're also metame other food. On the other hand, the Ramban brings from Rabbi Natan that no, the question is only as far as food that wasn't mussar the kabbal tumah, but wood or levoina, sure, chibas hakodesh will make them considered like food to even the matame others, provided that they became wet with one of the shivim achshavim. Kitchen Chavetz learns the other way around, that the Rav Shlach is a question not only about food, but Eishim and levoina not being food, there's no question that it wouldn't be matame others because of chibas hakodesh. So there's three different ways among Rishonim of understanding whether Rish Lakish would have the question about Eitzim or Levoina. But in any case, here we're talking about food where it was not mukh for the Kabbal Tumah. The only reason it's able to become Tumah is because of Chibas HaKodesh. So now the question is, does that make it to the extent where it's able to be Tumah other food or not? So the question is, we could argue that chibas hakodesh has enough power to pass all the food itself, that even though it wasn't mokshel kabal tumah, it's able to become tumah, but not necessarily as far as counting rishin and sheni in it. Or maybe there's no difference. Once it's able to become tumah, it's able to, all the usual rules of tumah v'tahara apply to it, and therefore it can be matame other foods. So Amar Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar says, Toshma, we'll bring a proof and we'll bring an answer. The Pasuk says, how do we know the plow that food can become tamei, and that's particular when it gets ready for the swan and the sugar mountain? The Pasuk says, Mikala oichal asher ya'achol, all kinds of food that can be eaten, the goyner, and the Pasuk continues that water comes and it becomes tamei, from which we learn in general, oichal abob amayim hokshar, oichal shaloi chayim amayim lai hokshar. The plow, this is where we learn the whole concept that if food did not become wetted with water or any of the other mash, then it's not mukshah, and only if it came into water, only if it was touched by water, is it mukshah. Well, therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, well, so even the Chibas HaKodesh is not going to override that. The fact is, you still need it to be wedded with one of Shiva Mashkin in order to be metame other food. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? Also, Reb Shimon, what do you think? And Reb Shlokish didn't know that. Also, Reb Shimon Lokish less like Ofla Baba Mayim. Doesn't, what do you think? Reb Shimon Lokish doesn't hold of that concept. It says quite clearly there in the Pasuk. We don't need Reb Elazar to be telling us that. So, Reb Shimon Lokish, Fafi from Boy Light. Rather, we have to understand Reb Shlokish's question is as follows. Chibas HaKodesh, to Ofla Baba Mayim Gami. The question is whether Chibas HaKodesh makes it the equivalent of having gone into water. And therefore, so you don't need Hechsher Mayim for it to be Makabal Chumma, for it to be Matame or the food. Oh, Lord. Well, no. Maybe Chibas HaKodesh is only effective as far as them themselves becoming Tomei, but not as far as being Matame or the food. So the Balazar's proof is not really going to tell us one way or the other about that. So the what I answered, Rabbi Elazar Nami, well, Rabbi Elazar knows that point. Rabbi Elazar Nami, me turi kroi fama. Rabbi Elazar is saying, fine, but my proof is still a proof, because it's not just from the simple meaning of the pasuk. Of course, Reish Lakish knows the simple meaning of that pasuk, and that food has to be wedded to be makabel chumah. No, what he means is, he's saying, based on the extra psukim, based on the extra phrasing in the psukim, we can also learn that you need Hechsher Mayim regardless, and there's no such thing as Chibas HaKodesh making it able to be Matame other food. Because, says Rabbi Elazar, Mechti Ksiv, let's consider the Pasuk continues and says, V'chiyutan Mayim al Zera, if water is placed on a seed, and then a Nevela or whatever falls on it, and it becomes Tahe, so Mikola Oichel Asher Yo'ochel Lom Ali, so why do we need the Udiyur Pasuk that says any food that could be eaten? Okay, the words that we call the oichal asher yo'ochel, we actually learn a different din from them, but the point is, why does it have to say asher yo'ochel out of mayim yitma, that water comes on and it's able to become tamei? Lav l'mo'oti chibas hakodesh, says Rabbi Elazar, therefore it must mean that it must be coming to exclude chibas hakodesh. So in other words, we have one din to tell us the basic fact, b'chlal, that food is mukhshar l'kabel tuma only when water or one of the shiva mashkin touches it, and then you have another one to tell us, and the same thing applies even as far as Purim. Don't think that Chibas HaKodesh is an exception to that rule. No, even by Purim, you still need them to be wedded with the Shiva Mashkin. So in that case, the Balazar says that in that case, we do have a proof from there to answer Reish Lakish's question. Dr. Gemara answers back, Lloyd, not necessarily, because the Pasuk may not be talking about Purim at all, but rather, the Pasuk is the other pasuk is telling, the extra pasuk is telling us about tumas mes. One is telling us about tumas mes, and one is telling us about tumas sheretz. So you have the pasuk for chiyutan mayim al zera v'nochem and yivlosim al dog. It's talking about a sheretz. But it says if the food becomes wet and the dead body of one of them, namely one of the shmonish rutzim that it talks about in the previous psukim, falls on it, then it means that the food is mukshul kabal chumah. The other pasuk, the kala oichal asher yo'ochel, the yovel the mayim yitma, is talking about chumas mess. Now it doesn't mention a mess in that context, but actually says this is one of those things. You don't need it to tell us about a sheretz because we already have that. So therefore, apply it instead to chumas mess. Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have just as well said that one's about a nevela of an animal and the other is about a sheretz. And either way, we're going to find the Gemara is going to point out a reason why we need both of them, why we can't just derive one from the other. And so the Gemara points out, it's tzrichi, you do in fact need both of them. B'yashmin of Tumas Mes, if it only told us about Tumas Mes, that the food becomes tameh and is able to be metame other food when it was wedded with the shivim, only when it was wedded with one of the shivim ashkin, you would say, Apostle, who the bori hechsher, you know why, by Tumas Mes, it requires hechsher, the kabal tumah. Because after all, you have a fula in Tumas Mes compared to a sheretz. Obviously, Tumas Mes is a much stronger kind of tumah, but there is one particular fula in it, namely that a lentil-sized piece of a mess is not going to be metamed. You need a kazayis of a mess to be metamed. have a sheretz in the town of the Kadasha, a sheretz which is able to be in the town when you only have a lentil sized piece of it, a maloy leboy hechsher, maybe because of that stringency, we should also say that it doesn't even require a hechsher of a kabel tumah, and regardless of a lentil sized piece or large or of a sheretz falls on food, it's going to be in the tamay it whether the food became bread or not. Therefore, the pasuk needs to stress for us that no, it becomes mukshar only if the water fell on it. And vice versa. On the other hand, if it told us only about a sheretz, you would say mishum delevin tamei shumas shiva. A sheretz has a kula when a person touches a sheretz. Person touches a sheretz, he's not tamei for 7 days. Or a keli touches a sheretz, he's not tamei for 7 days. You dip a person or the keli in the mikveh, and that's that. I will mess the metamei shumas shiva, but by a dead body, which is metamei for 7 days, which is a stronger tumah, emaloli bari hechsher. You would think maybe it doesn't require a hechsher, because again, it's a stronger trauma, maybe it's able to become tummy even without hechsher, smicha, and therefore, in fact, we need both psukim to tell us that regardless it is, it requires water or any of the shiva mashkin in order to be mashkin the kabbal trauma. Tosfos though does point out, if we could conceivably say that one pasuk is talking about a sheretz and one about an avela, how indeed would we know that by a mess you also need hechsher l'kabel tumah? Maybe indeed a mess is so much stronger. After all, a sheretz and an avela do both have this in common that neither of them is metamei tumas shiva. Fine, a navela has a larger amount of tzayis, sheretz has a smaller amount of kadarta, but they still are both metamei only for that, only until he goes to the mikveh and has head of shemesh. Maybe Tosfos says, maybe indeed a mess, being that it's metamei shemesh shiva, maybe indeed it should be metamei even without hechsher. And we can't definitively say that the pasuk is telling us otherwise. So Tosfos first of all points out, because after all both psukim are in the context of a sheretz, and as Rashi had said, we don't need it for sheretz, therefore once we're taking it out of context and applying it to other tumah, then we can apply it to all tumas, including even tumas mess. There's also Tosfos mentions, there's another relevant Gemara in Pesachim that mentions a third pasuk, where there you have something else as well. There you have that it tells us that there's no difference whether the water is in a container or whether it's still in the ground. Either way, it's able to be mashed with a kabel tumah. Tosfos also points out that given that the pasuk never tells us that it's talking about a mess, then we really don't need the Gemara to be telling us the second part, that if it had told us a mess, we wouldn't realize a sheretz from it, because the fact is, if it had told us a sheretz, we couldn't derive a mess from it, because the fact is, it doesn't actually say a mess in the pasuk. In any case, the point is that the Gemara is saying, Yud of Elazar are telling us that the psukim, one of them is coming to tell us that despite Chivas HaKodesh, it still requires Shiva Mashkin to be Makabal Tumah, but not necessarily. The Pasuk may not even be talking about Chachim at all. The whole Pasuk is talking about Chulam, and it's just talking about different sources of Tumah to make you aware that all of them are going to be, that all of them are Matame only if there was Heksher, only if there was Heksher Mayim, only if it was wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin. Okay. The Gemara says, must be the basis. Well, anyway, Rabbi Elazar had said, now, when it comes to Chivas HaKodesh, you still need Hechsher in order to be Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, must be Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have a contradiction on Rabbi Elazar from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said, Rabbi Shimon on Mechukhshur B'Shechita, that when you shechted an animal and no blood came out, Rabbi Shimon said it's still Mechukhshur Mekabel Tumah by virtue of the Shechita itself. Now, Hukhshuru means Vatilu Mimhu, on the face of it means Vatilu Mimhu, Behudish, and Rechaini. The word Hukhshuru implies that they're not only they themselves are able to become tamei, but they're able to metamei other food. Rashi points out that after all, we learned a couple of blocks ago that our Mishnah is in fact talking about kolin, and that led us into all kinds of discussion about how is it possible for kolin to go beyond sheni. But in any case, the point is that we established the Mishnah is definitively talking about kolin. Well then, there'd be no nafkamina if the food itself is tamei, because we said he can touch it with tamei hands and it won't be a problem, because his hands themselves are tamei, so maximum he's gonna, so even we talked about what exactly the nature of the tumah would be, but more to the point, the food itself, there's no nafkamina really if it itself becomes tamei, he's still allowed to eat it. So the nafkamina would only be as far as if it touches other food, a tumor or protein, that its metama is. So the Mishnah is telling us that when it tells us Uchru B'Shchita, according to the B'Shimon, means not only that it's tummy, but that it's able to be metame other food. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, Amai, V'Halav, Oifel, Abav, Amai, Bu. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, why? The whole point is we're talking about there was no blood that came out during the Shchita. It's only the Shchita itself, but fine. The Shchita itself could be no more powerful than Chibas HaKodesh. If Chibas HaKodesh, according to Rabbi Elazar, is not able to be mapped to the Kabbal Tumma by itself, you still need water. The same thing should be true as far as the Shchita of our Mishnah. So therefore, how can Rabbi Elazar say that Chibas HaKodesh is still requires Hefshah when it comes out from our Mishnah that Shchita, which is parallel to Chibas HaKodesh, does not require that? And the answer was Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, Achana Puf, Asa'u HaKach Shemayim Midrabanan. No, because all it would mean is, in other words, Midrabanan, we make the Shchita be considered the equivalent of being Machshah of the Kabbal Torah. So fine, we would still say then that if Truma or Podchin touches it, we can't burn them because we can't burn things based on a Truma Dirabonim, but nevertheless, the Mishnah would be implying that Rav Shimon is saying it's Hukshur, it's Hukshur, only Midrabonim. Rav Zeta says, so the Gemara continues, Omer Rav Zeta, Toshma, here's another proof about this question of Chibas HaKodesh and Hechshur the Kabbal Truma or not. So Rav Zeira says, Toshma, habotzo lagas, if a person harvests his grapes intending to press them to make wine, shama ema hukshur, so shama says the, and now what happens is when you're harvesting the grapes, sometimes some juice comes out of them. So Shammai says that juice is enough to be matched for those grapes to be makabal tumah. The Hillel and the Loi Hukshur, Hillel said is it is not much for the kabal tumah because one of the basic rules of being matched for the kabal tumah, the liquid has to have been produced l'rotzon, that the person wants it to come out. Now here the person doesn't want juice to come out of the grapes. He wants as much as possible the juice to come out of them only when he's in the pressing area. He doesn't want it to come out when he's close harvesting the grapes. That juice will just go to waste. But the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Shasiklei Hillel L'Shamai, that Hillel eventually conceded the Shabbos quiet to Shamai and accepted his opinion that it is not for the Kabbal Torah. The Gemara explains over there, one point is that sometimes when you're harvesting grapes, what you do is you want to squeeze a little liquid out of them to see whether they're ready to be pressed. And then later on, that liquid still remains on them even when you take them to the press, and therefore it can be matched with a Kabbal Torah. So now Rav Zeira says, "Am I the whole lot of oil above my angle?" Now, again, this juice did not come out l'rotzon, so it shouldn't be considered food that came into water, and nevertheless, we still see that it's able to be the Kabbal Tumma. So it's the same thing to be true as far as Chibas HaKodesh. Now, Tosfos does point out, though, aside from that matter about squeezing them and having a little liquid on them, that the Gemara explains there and connecting with olives is another point. As far as grapes, the Gemara makes a point over there that sometimes you might do the harvest into baskets that have been lined with tar, with the idea being, in other words, you want to save all that juice. You want, for example, you know when you're harvesting grapes, some juice is likely to come out. You don't want that juice to go to waste. So therefore, conceivably, you might, to begin with, use baskets that are lined with tar, and then with that, you're making it that the juice will be saved. Suppose this points out then, what's the question then? So indeed in that case, it would be Machshir, and therefore even when he's not using those types of baskets, we still say that the juice is still Machshir. So what's the Gemara's question even over here to ask that there was no Hechshir Mayim at all?
Now, to be sure, that's exactly what Abaya asked, but the question is, what was Rav Zera thinking? So Tosfos says, fine, but if Minat Torah, there was no concept of food not becoming Tomei without Hechsher Mashka, then he, look, after all, this juice that comes, the little juice that comes out of the grapes, Midaraisa would not even be considered a Mashka, because you don't really need it. So therefore, we wouldn't have imposed that rule of Habotz or Agas, that in general, somebody harvests intending to press the grapes, that it's going to be Mashka of a Kabbal Tumah, were there not some basis for it Daraisa. So therefore, Rav Zera can still say that from that case, we seem to have a proof that you can have food being Mokshar of a Kabbal Tumah, even being susceptible to Tumah, even without something that would be considered a liquid Minat Torah coming on it. So Abaya answers again. So Hechsher Mayim Midrabanan. Again, the Chachamim made it that it's considered like Hechsher Mayim, because, like we said, it might be you might use tar lined baskets. And the point is, in other words, that so it doesn't matter whether Daraisa was a basis for it or not. Reb Zera's premise, says Tosfos, is that there has to be some basis Daraisa for us to be able to impose such a rule. Right? Abaya is saying, not necessarily. The same way, as we just said before, as far as the Shechita, that it itself is Machshu, even without blood coming out, according to Reb Shimon, and we're saying that would be, it's Machshu Midrabanan, the same way we can say over here, with these grapes that you harvested, and then the same thing, we would consider it Midrabanan as though water was on it. But that wouldn't tell us anything about Reish Lakish's original question, which is about Menachos, where the basis for them being able to become Tomei is Chivas HaKodesh, whether that'll apply if they weren't wedded or not, well, that they themselves can become Tomei is Chivas HaKodesh, but that they can be Metame others, would that work because of Chivas HaKodesh? Even if there was no Hechsher or not, you don't have a proof one way or the other from them. But Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, what kind of proof is that? I'm bringing you from the case of our Mishnah about Hukshur B'Shchita. You're telling me that only Midrabanan are we considering it as though it was touched by water. Then Reb Zera pointed out to you the case of harvesting the grapes. And you're also saying it's only Midrabanan. The fact is, so what's the question? So then the answer would be, to Reish Lakish's question, that also we can consider it Midrabanan like Hachamayim. So in other words, you're slogging up my proof, and you're slogging up Reb Zera's proof, and you're saying it's only Midrabanan. Fine. So then the answer to Reish Lakish's question would be yes. This dry flour of the Menachos is able to be Metame others Midrabanan. So Abaya answers no, because alter Reb Shimon Lakish Lutlas from Abaya, because after all, is Reb Shimon Lakish asking only whether we should suspend it, whether we should, as usual, with where we have a suffix, what we do with it, where we can't eat it and we can't burn it, like we talked about on Amun Aleph. That would be, if he said that, then fine, we could say it's Rabbanan. Because again, when the Chachamim impose Tumah on something, generally speaking, they do not say, well, go ahead and burn it, because after all, if Daraisa says Tar, you can't just go and burn it willy-nilly. There are a few cases of suffix and things like that where we do burn truma because of it, but this wouldn't be one of them. So after all, Reish Lakish's question is, do we actually burn it? If this dry flour of the mincha, which was not wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin, if it now touches other food, is it metameh or not? And the fact is that we have and Reish Lakish is asking, is it metameh to the extent that we burn it? So it can't be the answer to Reish Lakish's question would just be yes it's Tomei Midrabanan. That still wouldn't answer the question of do we burn it or not. So I can slog up your answers from our Mishnah and from that case of pressing the grapes. We're talking about Poland over there. It's fine enough to say that we're Metame at Midrabanan. But to say that over here, it says Abaya, we can't do that. Okay. Well, the Gemara says Mitzvah. The Chibas HaKodesh Daraisa. Well, the implication of all of this is that Chibas HaKodesh exists on a Daraisa level. Because that's the whole point that we hear. We're saying that it can't be Dirabbanan. Otherwise, to begin with, we're not talking about Brunin here or not. Now, Tosfos does discuss on the previous slot that is Minat Torah. Rashi, on the other hand, says the whole thing is only Dirabbanan. It's an asmachta. It's the Pesuk Rabbos. There is an asmachta. Tosfos, in fact, asks on Rashi from Or Gemara, where it seems pretty clear that Chibas HaKodesh is Dardais. So Chibas HaKodesh is Dardais. Menolah, where do we know that from? Is it because the pasuk is v'havosar asher yigah b'chol tomei? Look, the pasuk is meat of kodshim that touches anything that's tomei is not allowed to be eaten, and obviously that means it became tomei. And we would have to ask, hi bosar de skasher b'mai? How would this meat mukshir l'kabal tumma in the first place? Ilema de skasher b'dam? Did it become mukshir by the blood of the shechita? So fine, we learned before the chacham hold blood of shechita is makshir. Reb Shimon holds not, but never mind that. Here we're talking about blood of kodshim. How do we know that blood of kodshim is not matzah food to be makabel tumah? Because the pasuk says loisel klanu, don't eat the blood. Ala aretz tishpachenu kamoim, pour it out on the ground like water. And from that we learn that's the chlal where we learn that blood of shita is matzah in the first place, precisely because it's compared to water. But therefore we would say that dam hanishpachamayim matzah, dam she'en nishpachamayim ain't matzah. Only blood that's poured out like water will be matzah. Blood that is not poured out like water, sprinkled on a mizbeach, is not matzah. So from that we learn that blood of kodshim is not matzah. The Gemara in Pesachim actually spends several blocks discussing this whole point of what liquids in the Nisnepesh are Makabal Tumah and which ones are not. So now we're saying that one of the ones that's not Makshur, but anyway, is the blood of Kutch. So necessarily, therefore, so when the Pesuk is telling us that meat of Kutchim can become Tomei, then evidently it's without Hechel or Kabal Tumah, and yet it's able to become Tomei, which leads us to this matter of Chibas HaKodesh. The problem, so because again, it can't be that it was muksha with the blood of the shechita. Ela de skasha b'mashke deis the b'chaya. So you're going to say, fine, it became muksha b'kabal tumah with the liquids that they use in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the slaughtering area in the Beis HaMikdash, they would wash the korbanos, they would wash the parts of the korbanos with water before offering them on the mizbeach. So you would say, well, that's water, so it's muksha b'kabal tumah. No, the liquids of Beis Mikvachaya, the slaughtering area in the Beis Mikvach, loy dayan shein dochan, not only are they tohar themselves, and they're not matame other things, el shein makshir, they're not even makshir food to be makabel tum. Meaning like this. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Abius that says that Yosi ben Yezir gave a number of testimonies in front of the Chachamim, it's in Masechta Abius, which is full of such things, that such a Chacham Hayyid testified in front of the Chachamim to the effect that such and such. One of them is that Yosi ben Yezir testified al mashke deis mitbachaya dochon, about the liquids of the Beis HaMitbachayim, that they are tohor. And the Gemara has, again, the Gemara has in Pesachim a whole discussion about the ins and outs of that. In any case, Yosef ben Chanina explains, when Yosef ben Yezir, generations earlier, had said that they're tahor, he doesn't only mean that they're tahor, as in this water itself, is not able to become tamei, but it's not even makshir food that it touches to become tamei. Why would the Chachamim do that? Tosfos points out that the reason for that is because midaraisa, only water that was connected to the ground would be makshir kabel tumah in the first place. Detached water, that's makshir, Tosfos says it only did abanam. So therefore, the Chacham did not want to impose such a gzera in the Beis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash we have to keep things on a very high level of tara, and therefore we don't want to impose extra gzeras on there and say that it's able to to become tamei. That's one way of looking at it. The Rambam writes that it's just halacha mepia kabbalah. There's no reason behind it. It's not that the Chacham didn't want to impose a rule. It's just we have the kabbalah. We have by tradition from generation to generation that's how it is that the liquids of Beis HaMikdash are not mashal the kabbal tumah. So, you can't say that these kodshim became mukshar with the blood, because the blood is not mukshar. You can't say they were mukshar with the water they were washed with in the basin of Bechayim, because that's not mukshar either. So, the chitema tirgama adam. Now, you're going to say that So you're going to say, now you're going to say maybe Rav Yosi ben Chanina's din about not being machshir is talking only about the blood of the korbanos. Maybe it's not talking about the water over there. No, because of the mashkei karma, he says the liquids in the plural, which means all the liquids that you'll find in the basin at Bechayim. You'll find water over there to wash the korbanos. You'll find blood oozing out of the korbanos. And both of them, Rav Yosi ben Chanina says, are not machshir the kabal trum. So how would this food, how would this meat become tameh, become susceptible to tameh in the first place, such that the Torah would tell us, and if it becomes tameh, you're not allowed to eat it? Wouldn't we have to say that it must be, it became mukhsha v'kabal tumah through chivas hakodesh? Well, there you go then. You see that chivas hakodesh is in fact d'oraisa. The Gemara says that's not really a proof. The Duma kedid of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maybe we could explain the pasuk as being maybe we could explain the pasuk as actually referring to a different place that Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, going shahoisa like parash al zivche shlomim. Suppose a person has a cow of shlomim, the hazira banachal. He brings it through a stream while it's alive. He brings it through a stream on his way to the Bismikdash. The shakta, then he brings it to the Bismikdash and shafts it. Why would he bring it through a stream? First of all, why we mention specifically a shlomim, and why we mention and why a stream? So that actually says, first of all, the pasuk about not eating korbanos when they're tamei, the context is talking about shlomim. So therefore, we mention in this example shlomim, even though based on that it would apply to other korbanos as well. The other point is, so Rashi points out that a shlomim, unlike for example an ola, you bring a korban ola, the skin of the ola goes to the kohenim of that day's mission. Similarly, with some other korbanos, with a chatas or an asham, it also, the skin goes to them. But with a shlomim, just like you, the owner, get most of the meat, you also get the skin. Therefore, you're going to want to make it that the skin should be as easy as possible to get off the animal after it's shechted. And a way to do that is that it's wetted beforehand. Rashi refers to a Gemara at the end of Beitza that meant the Mishnah mentions over there that you're allowed to give water to and shecht domestic animals on Yom Tov. And the point is, why does it have to mention giving them water? Is because that way it makes it easier to strip off the skin after their shechter. So by the same token over here, passing it through a river, getting it wet with the water of the river, will help later on when you sheft it, it'll be easier to get the skin off intact. So therefore, a person would have more reason to do that by shlomim rather than more so than by other korbanos. Shlomim, and I guess also the other ones are really in the category of shlomim as well, such as a toida. Anyway, the Ktsois brings a very interesting explanation on this. The Ktsois is a major mefardash on Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat. So he's dealing with matters of Dinei Mamonos over there. But in connection with Dinei Mamonos, you have a question of, it comes up in various places in Shas, the question of an animal of Kodshim, to whom does it belong? And that's relevant nowadays, we for the most part don't have Kodshim, but one relevance of it is for Bechor, that does not yet have a mum, and therefore you can't shecht it yet. So you have the question about who a Bechor belongs to in terms of, is it causes damage, and therefore in connection with that, the Ktsois points out, the whole point is that when food is wetted and mukhsha v'kabal tumah, it has to be midas bailim, like we said before, it has to be that the owner wants it to become wet. So now the question is, if the animal belongs to Hekdesh, so what if the owner himself is bringing it through a river? Why should that be mashal for kabal truma? Hekdesh doesn't want it to be susceptible to truma. So therefore, the Ktsois gives an answer that our Gemara would be going according to the Yosi Aglili. We find in different places in Shas, where he holds that Kodshim Kalim are considered mum and bailim, that the shlomim are an example of Kodshim Kalim, that those are considered the owner's property, to a certain extent, and therefore we're talking about over here, that he had it go through a river, and therefore he, as the owner of the animal, has the ability to be machshir l'kabal trumah. Whereas, according to the opinion that it's considered that it's completely mum and gabaya, that's true, that wouldn't work. In any case, so Rabbi Huda says in the name of Shmuel, so a person had a cow of shlomim, the Zidaban Nahal, he brought it through a river, shokta, then he shechted it, Vadain Mashka Tefeach Aleah, and when he shechted it, there's still water dripping off it, Tefeach, which means Tefeach Hamanas Vapiach, enough, it's wet enough that if you touched it with your hand, and then touched your hand with something else would become wet. So now that liquid is not Mashka Basin with Vachayim, because that liquid came from the river that you had the animal walk through. So it is in fact mukhsha l'kabal tumah. That would be the case then when the pasuk is telling you, now having been mukhsha l'kabal tumah, if that meat of the kodshin actually becomes tomei, then you're not allowed to eat it. Tosfos brings up a point that the fact is, though, again, we just said before that Tosfos holds that if the water is detached from the ground, then midaraisa, it's not machshir the kabel tumah. In particular, the Shmuel in a Gemara in Pesachim holds that it's not machshir in the first place, only when it was water in the ground. So Tosfos says, fine, what it means is, but because of the skin, the meat becomes mukhshar l'kabel tumah, because by virtue of what's called a yad, or a shomer, we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, that you have not only food itself is able to become tumah, but also you have, for example, the skin or the peel or whatever, different things like that on the food are also able to transmit tumah to it. And here what you have is that the skin is mukhshar l'kabel tumah. Or the other way around, the meat is mukhshar l'kabel tumah, but and the skin along with it, because it's a shomer, because it protects the meat, and therefore when one becomes tamei, the other would become tamei as well. Anyway, the point is, so we don't have a proof when the pasuk tells us that you can't eat kodshim that are tamei, and we're trying to figure out how they would become tamei. Not necessarily is it. Chibas HaKodesh is the only reason. There could be because you had it walk through the river and then you shechted it while it's still wet, like we just said. So you don't have a proof of Chibas HaKodesh Daraisa. Elam is safer. Rather, we can answer that it comes from the safer, from the end of that same pasuk, the end of that same pasuk continues. The pasuk goes like this: Ba'avosar ashiyiga b'chol tomei, meat of korbanos that touches anything tomei, lo ya'ocho, cannot be eaten. Ba'ishi sorif, it has to be burnt in fire. Ba'avosar, and as far as the meat, kol toho yechavosar, anyone who's toho can eat the meat. So that last part of the pasuk, ba'avosar, is l'rabbis eitz and l'voina. It comes to include wood and l'voina that they're able to be metabol tumah. Now, you have to ask, Eitzim Lavoina Bnei Achilim, you know? Now, are wood and Lavoina edible? Of course not. And yet, El Chibas HaKodesh Machshir Lahu. Nevertheless, Chibas HaKodesh makes it, they're considered so precious, they're considered as though they're food. And therefore, it gives them the status of food. Hochanami, the same thing with the meat. Chibas HaKodesh Machshirta, the concept of Chibas HaKodesh, makes it that now it's considered mukhshar l'kabel tumah, and therefore that means that also therefore it means the meat is going to be able to be l'kabel tumah even without hechshar mashta, even without being wedded with one of the shiva mashta. So even though we were saying at the top of the Amud that we learned from Sukkim that you always need hechshar mayim, but kodshim would be an exception, and in fact they're able to be l'kabel tumah even without that. Tosfos points out that in that case it seems kind of backwards. On the one hand, we're saying eitzim and lavona can become tomei because of chibas hakodesh, and the meat of the kodeshim also can. On the other hand, here we were just saying mashke basin mitbachayim, that the water and the other liquids that we have in the basin mitbachayim are not tomei, and they're not able to even be mash or other food l'kabel tumah. Why not? So Tosfos says it's one thing to say that something that has a substance to it, like Eitzim and Lavoina, which is it has a thick substance to materiality to it. So to say that that's like meat and is able to be makabel tumah, sure. But to say that liquids should be to learn from the word v'habosar, which means and the meat, to learn from that liquids should be able to be matame, that not. Chibas HaKodesh is not going to do anything for that. So now the question will be, now that we clarified the basis for the question of Rish Lakish, now that we established that Chibas HaKodesh is Daraisa, now we can go back to Rish Lakish's question, what would be the din? Ki mahanya Chibas HaKodesh l'psula de gufei. Maybe Chibas HaKodesh helps only as far as the meat itself becoming fossil, that you can't eat it. Aval amim mei rishin rishini loy, but not as far as counting rishin and sheni and being matame other food. Aduma loy shna, or maybe there's no difference. And the answer is teiku. We can't be sure one way or the other. We don't know the answer to Rish Lakish's question. Now Tosfos points out, midirabbanan, we definitely do say it's matame other food. The only question is whether daraisa it's matame other food. Tosfos also ends up asking, well then, if we said again, mashke besim b'chaya, or not mashir, so if chibas hakodesh, And if Chibas HaKodesh is effective enough, that even if we were to say that Chibas HaKodesh is effective enough for Kodshim to be metame other food, then why wouldn't we say the same thing as far as Hechsher, then really what's the Nafka Mina, whether it's Mukhsher or Kabbal Tumma or not. Either way, that meat is going to be Makhsher other food. So if we say that it's not Makhsher other, if we say it's not metame other food, then fine. We could say the Nafka Mina is, if other food became wedded with the Makhsher base of the Bahaya, it won't be susceptible to Tumma. And therefore, even this Tommy Kodesh touched it, then it won't be Matame. But if you tell me that that Kodesh is able to be Matame other food as well, then what's the difference if it's anyway not, if the other food is anyway not Mukhshav Kabbal Tumma? And Tosfos says, fine, but the fact is, you have other things that are brought into the Azara. They would even sometimes bring in Chulin, because the Koyanim, you're not allowed to bring Chulin into the Azara. But Tosfos learns you are allowed to bring in Chulin, for example, to eat together with the Menachos or together with the Korbanos, because they have to eat them a la Soiva. The Koyanim are not supposed to eat them when they're starving. They're supposed to eat a night. They're supposed to eat other food first, like we do al derech, like we do by the Afrikoyim, and then we finish it off a la Soiva. So therefore, so in that case, there are going to be Chulin over there, and the question would be whether those Chulin are able to become Tomei from these Kodshim that themselves were not wedded. So again, Tosfos says, Midirabbanan, we can say that yes, certainly they do, but Rosh Lakish's question, Midiraisa, to the extent, therefore, so would we burn those Kodshim as a result of that, and the Gemara is leaving that at table. Which would mean, therefore, that we can't burn them, and we have to leave them suspended until they're anyway noser, and then we would burn them anyway.